Again, I am grateful for an opportunity to be here. I'm gracious how this church continue to reach this community and how you've served well, continue to serve well throughout this city and certainly throughout the world. So I salute you today, and I praise God for Trinity. I praise God for the work of your hands, the labor, and your heart, that you are a shining light and a beacon in a community where God has purposed you to serve. So my heart is always gracious. I'm always thankful when I get opportunity to be here. I come today saying thank you, and certainly we appreciate all that you do and have done, and as you continue to do those wonderful things that this city and the world is made better. I want to pray. Father, I yield today as I stand here before your people, desiring that you be heard. I pray that you speak through me and even to me. I ask for a special anointing as I purpose in my heart that a word will come forth that will be building and uplifting to your kingdom, and that those who might hear, might receive, and might go forth and do what is asked of us to do even today. Bless, we pray, and all of it we ask in Jesus, our Lord's name, amen. Your theme for your mission is Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 14th verse. And it reads, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." And then the end will come. As I was reading and praying about that theme, I was just thinking about the quote that we've all heard, and we've heard people say it often. Every good sermon oftentimes uses words. And I'm just so grateful that the work that Trinity does, you know, just sometimes we even hear some things. But so often, even at the Mercy House and the Pathway House and all the things that we get a chance to do and things that I've seen throughout the community, I've always seen your labor of love. I've always seen your actions. I've always seen you there. I've always known that you care about this community and you care about those who are the least among us. And so your action has always been loud and always heard throughout what we do in Montgomery. So again, I salute you. I praise God for you. Continue to preach the gospel. And then by chance, if you need words, do so. But keep doing what you're doing. And God is smiling, I believe, even now, even on us. People around the world need to see the gospel lived out. I know, and I've seen, I've been here, I know that your purpose is to continue to serve your community here and to serve abroad and to continue to send missions and missionaries throughout the world and to support them. So as you do that, purpose still that not just in words, that the gospel will be demonstrated and people will get a chance to see what the love of Jesus looked like. We are so grateful that we are able to do that through the support that we get, even through Trinity. We're able to demonstrate and walk out what the love of God looked like. And we are so thankful for that opportunity. I want to share a familiar passage of scripture with you, St. Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 11th verse. And it reads, "For Jesus was talking here to his disciples, and he said to them here, for the poor will always, for you would have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always." this passage of scripture, in the context of it, Jesus was preparing himself for his death. He knew at this point that his death was close. He knew that it was time for him to head for Calvary. And he had, in this passage, was preparing those who was following him for that. So they would know, they would see and be prepared as he was teaching them to be ready for his death. In doing so, you've read the story, you know of the story, the lady with the alabaster box, who would come to the table where Jesus was sitting and to pour what was a very costly vase of oil on Jesus' head, anointing him. The disciples did not get the message. They did understand why such a costly oil would be poured on Jesus' head. They had been with Jesus earlier. If you read back in Matthew, the 4th and 5th chapter, you read in St. John, you remember when Jesus had the disciples who was following him. And when they come to a place where, Jesus didn't invite them, but they followed him, to a place outside of the city. And Jesus looked down to see the multitude of people, and he asked his disciples, how are we going to take care of these people? How are we going to feed them? Jesus, knowing then how he was going to do that, but he asked the disciples those questions. The disciples said to them then, listen, it would take a half a year wages for us to feed all of these people. We have no means to do so. And Jesus, remember that passage of scripture, he asked the disciples to have those people to sit down. And in sitting down, there was 5,000 men, but there was only 2 fish and 5 loaves. And when Jesus took what was there, he took what was given to him, he first gave thanks for that. And he lifted up before God, and God blessed that. And when God blessed that, remember the end of that story, that was 12 baskets that was left over. So Jesus, in this passage of scripture, understood that the poor being with you, what it means. Sometimes the disciples questioned, we questioned if they knew. Oftentimes when the needs was there, they asked Jesus to send those people back, let them go back. Don't let them stay here with us, for we have no means to take care of them. But Jesus always understood that having the poor with him meant that he would also be there for them. And I'm so grateful as I see what God is doing now through the body of Christ that we understand that as a church. We understand that as a people. I get a chance to drive a bus every once in a while. And in driving that bus, you know, my kids on the bus understand the rules of that bus. We get a chance sometime to stop at McDonald's. And some of the kids may have funds of their own, but when we stop at McDonald's, if we are going to get a Happy Meal, everybody on the bus is going to have to get a Happy Meal. I don't care if you have pockets of money or whatever, you can only get what the bus is allowing us to have. I said, now, if you can up the order for everybody to get a quarter pounder, then we all will get quarter pounders. I said, but if you don't have enough that we all can share equally, I said, we are here together. We are in this together. So we pull up at McDonald's. We have a budget that we within, and we stay within that, and all of the kids understand that we were going to have the same thing because we are together. And that's what Jesus was making the disciples understand here in this passage of scripture, what it means to have the poor with you. And if you read and continue to study, even in Matthew 25, when he is telling us about the poor and the prisoners and those who are hungry and the fatherless, when Jesus was talking about that, he was talking more than just words. He was making us know that not just preaching and teaching, but also having compassion on those who are in need. But he did not leave out the gospel. In all that Jesus did, Jesus had an eternity in mind. He wanted each person who was fed. He wanted each person that he healed. He wanted every person, every miracle that he performed, that at the end of that miracle, that that will be an eternity gain. And that's what we do at the Mercy House. And that's what all of us do in ministry. We are feeding people daily, but we're not feeding them and holding back the gospel. We're not causing people to get to work and not telling them about Jesus. We don't want them to be as we are taught in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, how we labor for bread and we work for those things that won't satisfy, and we miss what the good news, the gospel that Jesus himself has died to bring to the world. We work hard that all that we do, that Jesus will be exalted through it, that someone would know who he is as we feed people, we are praying with them, as we continue to counsel people, we're telling them about the love of God, we're demonstrating the love of God, and we are pointing them always to Christ. We are never pointing people to ourselves. We're never pointing people to us. We're never pointing people back to New Walk of Life Church or even back to the Mercy House or the Pathway House or the MAP Center. In all that we do, we point people to Jesus, and we feel that these are just tools that he's given us that we can continue pointing people to Christ. We're grateful for the tools, we're grateful for the opportunity, but we understand daily that the bread that we have at the Mercy House will not satisfy except for that meal. And on tomorrow, they will come back again and need it again. So we want them to know the bread of life. We have bottles and great opportunities to give them water and drink, but we know in all that we do, if they do not get of the living water and they don't taste from that fountain that Jesus offered to them, that they are still going to thirst. And even in this life, they may get satisfied with what we're able to give them. But there is a life to come that we know that they need to be satisfied for. They need that living water. So that's the work that we continue to do daily. And that's what it means for us, that the poor being with us, not just in our at our table, but on and at our prayer time, not just when we're giving them clothes that we can't wear anymore, but when we're bringing them to be clothed with his righteousness, we're bringing them to worship. We're teaching them about Jesus. We want them to know who he is. We are doing all that we can that the poor not just be get what we have left over or what we're able to pass down, but we're making sure that as we purpose from here to heaven, that the poor will be with us on that journey, finding their way as we are traveling through this land, this world, this place, being pilgrims and strangers as we are, on our way to a place that we know that's prepared for us, a place that we know that the streets, we believe, they are paved with gold. We believe it's a place there where there's no more crimes, and we believe there's a place of peace. And we are offering the same opportunity that God has given us, that the poor could be with us, can get on the bus and travel with us from earth to heaven. We will not leave them behind. We believe it was an assignment that God gave us. We believe that he attached them to us. We believe that they was assigned to Ken Austin's bus, that the poor will have a ride from here to heaven, and they will get an opportunity to know who Jesus is. And that's what we must do. That's what the mission work has to do. We have to continue laboring daily, working hard, and open up opportunities that the poor might not just get bread, may not just get a place to sleep for tonight, may not just get a coat or blanket when it's cold, but that they too would know who Jesus is. I believe that's the greatest assignment that's been given to us. If you give them bread, they're going to hunger again. If you give them a coat, they're going to be hot in the summer. If you offer them Christ, they will live forever. God bless you. Heaven smiles upon you. Always is our prayers. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you for this church and the work that you're doing through it. I pray for Pastor Claude today. I ask you to bless him and continue to strengthen his body. And Father, I pray for each person here. I pray for the team who had purpose to go abroad to help someone else to know you more and to know you better. I ask you to continue to bless them. I pray for that health and strength. And I pray, Father, as you continue inside of this community, that this church will always be the light, the salt, doing the work that you ordain, the work that you purpose, the work that you have called to be done here. Bless this church. Open doors for it. Open opportunities that it may continue to reach this community in a more better way. Continue to bless all that's done here. We thank you and we praise you and we say all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.